This is the one with one angry mother,
dormant scorpion genes,
a mysterious man, and an olive woman.
And the doctor plays with an organ.
It's called the Lazarus Experiment.
Here we go.
We're still on our endless voyage, all through time and all through space.
With Levine and Angels now, Daleks, Cybers, and Goon, wow!
Tennant, Smith and Eccleston, Gallifrey, where it all began.
Doctor Who is cool again, that was Russell's master plan.
Who back when? Reviewing all new Who there is. Who back when?
Subscribe and rate on iTunes, please.
Rose and Donna, Amy Pond, Rory, Martha and beyond. Join us on this odyssey, what other choice could there be than Who back when? Who back when?
Hello and welcome to episode N034 of Who Back When, a Doctor Who podcast.
Or Doc Fast.
Damn right.
Every time you cave. We've got to be strong.
I am Ponkin, and with me in the studio today are, starting on my left,
Nicola Lely. How you doing, podcast land?
And to my right,
Smooth Drew Backway.
We're on new microphones and really enjoying it.
Really enjoying it.
So enjoying it.
Today we are having a little chit chat about the Lazarus Experiment. It's another Tennant shtick, and it features Mark Gatiss, one of very few people who have both acted and written for Doctor Who.
Hmm?
But not in the same episode.
Exactly. Who wrote this? Something Greenthorn. Horn?
That's Greenhorn.
Greenhorn.
Greenspan.
Stephen Greenhorn, I want to say.
Very possibly.
Michael, John.
Greenhorn?
Mark.
Greenhorn makes me think of Andrew. Ace Ventura. Oh, whatever. Yes, we are digressing. Anyway, it was written by, insert name here, Bing Bong, Future Punkin' here. That would be Stephen Greenhorn. Bing Bong, who also wrote The Doctor's Daughter and The Magician's Apprentice.
Well done.
For two of those.
Okay.
Yeah. Shall we jump into a B-scale?
Let's. A Time Lord of his word, the Doctor brings Martha back home a day after they originally left and is ready to dump her to go look for a more interesting companion.
However, he's convinced to stay when Martha's sister appears on the telly with an old Mark Gatiss, proclaiming that he'll change what it means to be human.
Gatiss's character, Professor Lazarus, with the funding of his equally wrinkly side chick and one Mr. Saxon, has constructed a machine that will rejuvenate him. Alas, he doesn't realise that it will also turn him into a giant scorpion monster. Peace, cow, over.
You are welcome.
Right, Drew, I'm assuming that you have meticulous notes for this episode. Do you want to start us off?
Okay. Cold open. The TARDIS is sort of making squeaky noises. I don't know, it seems squeakier than usual. So I'm... How's that sound?
Wow.
Yeah,
kissy.
He's twiddling a lot of things, pulling some stuff, and then he's like, perfect landing.
Yes, in a very small area.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my
in
God,
really
yeah.
In really tight space.
Yeah, we get a Punani joke right off the bat.
Yeah, we do.
Do you want to soundbite that instantly?
Yeah, let's do it.
Perfect landing. Which isn't easy in such a tight spot.
Oh, you should be used to tight spots by now.
Let's never stop soundbiting that. Yeah. Just let's put it into all other Who Back When episodes somehow.
Also, that's now my new ringtone.
So does Martha unequivocally know that he's plowing every known furrow in the space-time continuum? Except hers.
Yeah, I think it's rather the latter. I think it's not so much the excess of vagina in the Doctor's life as the absence of dongle in hers.
Oh, yeah. Could be. Are you sure he doesn't leave a tie on his bedroom door in the TARDIS, which he presumably must have every night?
That's a good question. Like, in between adventures, do you think that he just goes, Martha, shut up for a second, I'm going to go bone someone?
Yeah, or go to the bathroom, or perform any number of functions.
Do Time Lords need the bathroom?
I don't know.
Asking the real questions here and Who Back When.
Are you suggesting that his, like, whatever he has rather than a... like, his shit pouch is like a TARDIS that's bigger on the inside?
Yes, it's exactly what I'm suggesting.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Also, shit pouch, trademark.
I bet it's mentioned in the books, but are they canon? Oh, one of the great questions of our age.
Okay, so cold open, they've materialised back in Martha's bedroom. Back in Martha's, is that where they set off from? I feel like they set off from the middle of the street.
Yeah, they did.
So anyway, they're in Martha's bedroom, and the doc is like, oh, look, there's your bedroom, there's your pants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Screenshot of her pants, by the way.
First time I've ever seen those. He's saying, I'm surprised to see your pants, having gone nowhere near them when I had every opportunity.
Wait, he says something like that?
Oh, exactly.
Or maybe it's that... Do you think that he's just surprised that any woman near him would wear them?
Yes. You won't be needing these anymore.
Okay, so as they're saying their goodbye, she's had her treat, her fun, her dirty weekend, and now it's time for the partnership to split. when she gets a phone call from her mum saying that her sister's on, this is Martha's sister, is on TV next to...
Mark Gatiss, Professor Lazarus.
Old man Gatiss.
Old man Gatiss.
I really like his prosthetics. I like the, actually, the work that they've done there.
Yeah, yeah. I was going
to
agree.
Yeah, it's really, really well done. And apparently, according to, this is IMDb trivia, according to them, the production designer who ever tracked down an old cast of Peter Cushing, I think it was. Was it Peter Cushing?
No,
it was Vincent Price.
Vincent Price, yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting my scary old guys confused.
Actually, who's more scary? Just right now, real quick. Who go? Vincent Price or Peter Cushing?
Vincent Price.
Vincent Price all the way.
Yeah definitely.
Yeah.
Peter Cushing is like a really... He could be scary, but he was also very much a bumbly Mr. Magoo.
Yeah. Whereas
Vincent
quite
Price,
scary. He's holy scary shit. In the way that things look friendly but won't be.
Dude, Vincent Price looks at you wrong and your pubes turn white.
But you know what you're getting. Look at that guy. He looks frightening, but this guy is sort of that undercurrent of frightening. We're digressing. So Professor Labrador is on the TV proclaiming that he's going to change the what it means to be human, right?
Yeah.
The very fabric of humanity.
Yeah. Hang on. I feel like there are two things that we're kind of missing that we need to...
Already?
...delve into. Well, one, certainly, and that is that this is the goodbye. We're starting off with the Doctor returning Martha to her time. It's like 1 or maybe 2 days after they left, and... This is it. Like, he could not give a smaller wank about her. He just wants to dump her.
He couldn't be more pleased.
Yeah.
He's just like, suck my ego off one last time for old time's sake, and I'll be on my way.
Incidentally, I'm a Time Lord, and my ego is over here. But, it's really, really weird. And she's like, uncomfortably close to him. It's like she's wanting that farewell kiss and whatever. She's not getting it, obviously.
Or just any sign of affection at all.
Yeah.
But, as an audience, we're all waiting for... Well, they're obviously going to have to do something together because we're 4 minutes in.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and the thing that happens is that the Doctor leaves and everyone's, Martha's very upset, but he comes back because...
Not because he really cares about Martha or has changed his mind and wants to hang out with her, but because he thought about what Mark Gatiss's character said and just went, actually, did he say change what it means to be human? Yeah, all right, I'm in.
That was infinitely more interesting than whatever Martha was saying.
Yeah.
Her sister was in the right place at the right time, otherwise he'd be gone forever.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Oh, it's really weird.
I mean, the last companion who left... He almost destroyed the universe. He tracked down a supernova and basically blew up a star system for one extra second with her.
To be fair, at this point, they've had, like, what, 2 adventures, 3 adventures versus Roses. You know, we'll give it time. We'll give it time. Maybe it could blossom.
It won't. It really, really won't. Okay, so we're jumping into opening credits land, and Nick... Well, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, Nick and I watched this episode right before you pressed record. Nick, could you tell me, was the animation synced up with the music this time?
Yes, it was, in fact.
No, it was not.
Just lying to your podcast land.
I thought this had a great opening line, except I can't remember in what context it's said.
Your note-taking's getting shit.
My scene one says Westminster Abbey.
Oh.
Yes, well.
Yeah, we talked about this as well.
We did talk about this. So when it opened on, we open on Mark Gatiss's weirdly, like...
The decor.
Weirdly decorated... non-lab-like Canary Wharf pat. Like, why
it's his
is
office.
It? Yeah, but...
It's not Canary Wharf either.
I know, but you know what I'm saying? It's very much like a bank building.
Yeah.
But that also houses his laboratory.
And a statue of David.
And a weird statue of David.
And a miniature of Westminster
Abbey.
Unless it's actually Southwark Cathedral now, I think.
Well,
about.
Yes,
that makes perfect
about.
Sense.
Because actually, when I saw it first, before the spiel about the Abbey and the Blitz, I thought it was like a random model of Notre Dame. And a butt sculpt of David and some other really incongruous artwork for this entirely glass office.
It seems kind of like an interim office in a way. It's like, oh, well, to make do, I just need a few things. I need my circa 1850 desk and I need my miniature of David and miniature of, what was it again, Suffolk Cathedral?
Yeah. You know, it's funny you mentioned Canary Wharf because I looked at the shape of the set and I thought, isn't that possibly where Rose and the Doctor were manhandling their giant levers? Wasn't this the last office we saw Martha's cousin in, but from the other end? They have a limited number of sets.
Yeah.
I'd like to bet that that's the same set, just from the other end.
That's very, very possible. It's not meant to be Canary Wharf, though.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
No. Anyway, so Lazarus and Miss Havisham are having a good old chinwag.
Yes, and the best opening line ever.
Oh,
here we go. Doctor Who episode, I think. Are you sure it's safe?
Oh, wow.
What could be better? Of course it couldn't.
There are so many occasions where someone will ask the Doctor that, in Classic Who anyway, when he's just about to exit the TARDIS when they've materialised. Someone's like, are you sure it's safe? Oh, yeah, probably. I mean, must be, right?
I've only died 5 or 6 times so far. How bad can it be?
So we get, at this point, a nice little foreshadowing of who's funding this experiment.
Yeah.
The experiment that we're not aware of at this point. But who is funding this experiment?
Mavis from Corrie.
Ah, yes.
Among others.
Mr. Saxon.
Yeah, the first of many Saxon references in this one. The Doctor and Martha, they're going to this event, like the great unveiling of whatever it is that Lazarus... God damn, why is his name Lazarus? It's another one of those. We've met another one of those.
Yeah, what was the last awful one?
Solomon.
Solomon. That's what it was. Oh, yeah, Solomon and
Jesus
Lazarus.
Balls.
It's the nominative determinism thing. It's like you call a kid Solomon, he's going to grow up wise. You call a kid Lazarus,
he's going
and
to
break something in half. Yeah.
Yeah. You call a kid Lazarus and he's going to
resurrect himself.
Yeah, in some way, literally or metaphorically.
You just call him Jesus.
Ooh, yeah, that'd solve all
Professor
our problems.
Professor Hayes Zeus.
Well, anyway, so my next note is that they're going to this event, and Martha says that...
The needlessly black tie event.
Yeah.
Needlessly black tie.
Who else is going to this event? Is it prospective clients? Is it science community? Is it investors? Who is there?
I think it's investors.
You think so?
Because Mavis says at one point that you want to impress the investors. They've got a lot of money riding on them.
Oh,
but
yeah.
A good show
okay.
for them.
That's true, but I feel like if I had just spent, like, I don't know, let's say £5 billion of someone's money, I'm definitely going to test them with them not in the room.
Yeah, exactly.
And then show them the second round of that testing.
Yeah. And did he test this on anyone else or anything else? Like, did he ever rejuvenate a pig or something? No, not as far as we're aware.
Create some weird Lazarus pig hybrid.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, where's that?
Oh, so good. Anyway, so they get to this event. Got a question as they're heading towards the event. This is actually my next note. What is Martha's tattoo all about? She has a tattoo. Have we talked about this on the show before?
Yes, yeah, no, we haven't. She has a tattoo on her right arm, and I can't figure out whether that's Martha or Freema Aigman.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the character or the actress.
But it's definitely the first time we've seen it, or at least talked about it.
I think so, yeah.
Is it the first ever tattooed character to who?
I mean, well, probably not character, because we probably get some weird alien with whatever on him.
What about Ace? Isn't Ace pretty edgy in the McCoy
Ace
era?
Ace is very edgy.
Yeah, she's got to be covered in him.
Probably has a...
Ace on the face.
Arrow next to her pubes. No,
the grain is this way.
Yeah, don't rub me up the wrong way. Or...
Like a shark.
It'll bite you.
Okay, so we also now get to meet Martha's family. Her mum, her sister, and her brother.
About time, because they showed a lot of promise 6 episodes ago. Yeah.
Mm. They seemed really interesting. I wanted the dad to be in this one. The dad seemed like good fun.
Yeah, I wanted him to put his foot down.
Yeah. And what's his name? His girlfriend to be in it too.
Crumbs.
What's her name?
Bimbella.
I want to call her Chantel.
Yeah, why not?
Who?
Yeah,
Chardonnay. Something.
LaShonda.
Yeah.
Whom are we talking to?
He has a really young girlfriend in the first episode, the first Martha episode.
Oh, you mean the dad?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
The snow bunny.
Yeah, more on L or something.
Was Reggie Yates part of the last one? I feel like Reggie Yates was not.
I don't think we met the brother in the last one.
No, yeah. The brother was definitely in the last one because he was schizo. I remember it.
No,
oh, I don't
Reggie
remember
Yates
that at all.
Was not in that one.
Well, maybe it wasn't Reggie Yates, but is Leo the brother then?
Yeah, he's Tolt Malone.
She definitely had a brother in 3.1.
All right, then.
Absolutely.
3.1?
Oh,
wow, look at you.
Yeah.
Mm. So anyway, Martha's mum is there and just right off the bat disapproves of the doctor being there. And I mean, we had a little bit of a chit chat about this while watching the episode. As far as the mum is aware, Martha's been away for a day and she instantly just goes, who the fuck is this man who like abducted my and completely changed my daughter?
Yes, the changed is the thing I have more of an issue with. Like, it's okay to not like your daughter's new fella. That's... I guess a reaction. And the idea that like you just randomly bring him to this black tie event, your sister's like big day. It's like who the fuck is this dude?
Totally okay with it.
Well, I know, but you know, people get sensitive. But later on, there are allusions to, oh, you've changed because of the doctor. It's like, it's literally been about 12 hours as far as you're concerned.
Yeah, exactly.
Chill the fuck out.
And she hasn't really seen much of Martha's behavior.
Yeah.
Certainly not in the beginning. It's literally just like, hello, hello. Wait, who's this dude? Fuck no, I disapprove.
It's okay. Oh, well, it's because they didn't write it enough, did they? They didn't give it enough time to bed in and be...
To marinate.
Well, I think the whole bed in is key here. I think the mother reacts to someone, maybe like someone deflowering her daughter. It's like, where have you been? Oh, well, you've been shacked up with this dude like boarding for 2 days straight? Okay, I disapprove.
Although, if memory serves, Jackie didn't like the doctor.
But maybe Jackie Jackie wanted to bone down with Eccleston.
Yeah, we don't know that this mother doesn't. But
so you're saying it's jealousy?
Maybe. I don't know what I'm saying. What I am saying I think that they're going to the mother hates the, you know, the wolf in the night that's
taking her poor daughter.
Yeah, or sheep in this allegory.
Yeah. it's pure hostility, and the doctor does make an incredibly bad impression. He's gobbling up hors d'oeuvres with his tongue out ostentatiously, and he's talking with his mouth full, and he's just generally not being polite and putting his foot in it, and she has the measure of him instantly.
Yeah, but still, like, give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Right? Yeah, he could be a random dude. He hears that his friend has a party, his friend from the hospital, and he comes along. It's not so implausible.
And also be happy for your daughter. Like, no one has ploughed her since forever, and now potentially this dude is, you know, great.
Yeah, and he's a doctor.
Exactly.
So he's got a stable career.
Sorry, podcast land. I didn't realise this line of inquiry would be so deep. We obviously have our own issues to work out.
Speaking of in so deep.
Stable career, I'm a freelancer. Has anyone got any work?
All right, so moving on. Mark Gatiss appears. Is it Gatiss or Gattis, by the way?
I want to say Gattis.
Gattis.
I don't know that.
I'm going to say Gatiss.
I'm going to say Gatiss as well. I think it's Mark Gatiss. That's anyway, so Mark Gatiss, Lazarus. Lazarus turns up. And
Lazarus.
Yes. Lasersaurus. That's what he is. Oh, he doesn't have a laser. But he could. I'm going to call him Lasersaurus.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead. So he shows up. He doesn't do much of a pre-spiel. He just goes, hi, I'm going to do something awesome right now. And then he steps into this prop.
Which, by the way, kudos to the prop making team. Mm. That is a badass closet.
Yeah, it looks really, really awesome. Also, we read on IMDb it is a recycled prop from the Satan pit. Mm. It's the lift that they use to descend into, not the pit, but down to where the pit is located.
Yeah. Mm. Cool.
Yeah, wow. Very cool. But yeah, so it is an awesome machine and the effects are really, really cool.
Really good.
Does not look safe at all.
No.
No one, there's not even a rope around us, like, don't cross this line.
No one's handing out safety goggles.
No. It's literally just like, oh, I'm going to step into this thing. You don't know that it's going to twist and turn and that there's going to be lightning and shit. No.
quick little pin. When the family were talking, the sister and PR, super rude to her guests. Just like,
oh,
you're a geeky. Oh, so he's another scientist geek, is he? It's like, aren't you the head of PR? What are you doing?
Yeah, maybe he's a potential investor.
She has a refreshingly candid answer. Attitude. I mean, I don't know.
To hosting.
These investors, they're thrilled that someone actually stands up to their awesome money. I don't know. Also, I would say that the investors are all 50 years too young to have any interest in this machine whatsoever.
Especially Olive Lady. Olive Lady is like 33.
I'm pretty hot, right?
Yeah, very hot. Olive Lady.
No offense to Olive Lady. I think she was older than that.
But you would still go to her Olive Garden.
That's a joke for our American listeners.
Yes. There's another thing I want to bring up about the family, actually, before we go on to the ridiculous experiment, which is Reggie Yates and his line about, if anyone asks me for a drink, I'm going to swing for them. I thought that was a good piece of racial awareness.
Wasn't it,
on the part of the writers?
Absolutely. Oh. Yes, that was good.
I missed that line. That's really, really interesting.
Yeah, that's very good. Because he was obviously dressed up in a tux, and yeah.
Yeah.
But what was also funny is the idea of Reggie Yates hitting anyone. He's quite a camp presenter.
I'm not familiar with Reggie
Yates. He's a BBC presenter. He did a children's TV for a while, and then I think was a radio DJ, maybe.
Yeah.
And has done some other presenting work for the BBC.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And another thing.
Oh, okay.
I actually like Mark Gatiss better as Old Man Lazarus. I like the work he does with the prosthetic face. It's not just that he's wearing a face, but he's constantly chewing and doing old man facial expressions and gestures and things.
Yeah, the prosthetics guys really fucked up Young Man Lazarus, didn't they? I remember thinking, like, you could have gone younger. You could have gone younger. This doesn't seem that shocking to me. Removed a couple of liver spots and he's got a bit more hair, but still pretty old.
Well, it's because the doctor pulled
Mark.
The plug.
You're welcome,
Mark. He was going to go full Benjamin Button on him, but didn't have time.
Okay, so anyway, the machine goes all haywire, yeah. And Doc needs to save the day because apparently this hasn't been tested properly at all. There's zero testing involved. Oh, wait. When everything's turned on, we forgot to talk about all the science machinery.
All the bleepy bloopies.
The bleepy bloopies and the big red button that turns it on.
Massive red button.
Oh, it's the so
red
good. Fez.
I like that it was just a normal size button, and then someone in the development team of that laboratory went, no, we need to make it bigger. Why is that? Just in case someone with a giant, pointy, like,
thingy.
Yeah, thing needs to access it from their thorax. good thinking, Mark. That's why you're on the team. But yeah, all the bleepy bloopies were hilarious.
Yeah, really, really fun. And there's some girl working in the machinery, right?
Two.
Mm. Oh, there are two.
Lab-coated women.
Oh, wow.
Scientist women, whom we
just
will
call
never
them scientists.
See again.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, where are they?
I was going to bring up the women fact because they are women entrusted with a minor, you know, bit of science to handle, and then we can just forget about them, and the doctor doesn't need to ask them anything.
Now, I'm gonna write them in a little scene that we never got to see, a deleted scene.
Okay.
Right. So they're scientists. They helped develop this whole thing. They saw Aura going tits up, fully aware of what the consequences were. They left.
Yeah.
Immediately.
The only people in the building with any brains.
Maybe they sabotaged it.
And all of the other people that quite clearly see something is going wrong, just stay.
Yeah, pretty much.
In fact, they stay exactly where they are. As this thing is whirling around at 500 RPM, about to explode, they move back 6 inches.
Yeah, but do you reckon that's because no one on set knew what it was going to look like afterwards, like after post-production, and they maybe just expected it to light up or something, and then afterwards they decided, oh, fuck it, let's make these things spin and whatever, go all crazy and lightning-y.
Yeah, possibly.
I think it's more that the characters are rich dum-dums. I prefer that. I prefer to think of all the mega wealthy as dum-dums.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree. Yeah.
Sure.
Not being mega wealthy.
Yeah, no idea what that's like.
You can't even afford the rest of your trousers at this point, can you?
Yeah, this is a first. I'm podcasting in shorts, everyone. That's how come you can tell how relaxed I feel.
So as the whole thing is exploding, or about to explode, not only do the people stay put, they also discourage the doctor, who is the only person trying to intervene. They also discourage him from doing so.
Yeah?
Yeah, they do discourage him from doing so, which is
very, very weird.
Also, how does he stop the machine?
He sonics it, and then, and we definitely need to put a pin in this, pulls the plug.
Pulls the power cord.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just a great big insulated tube out the back.
Yeah, which he doesn't put back, as far as I'm aware.
No.
All right, pin.
Martha actually goes to the closet and reveals a much younger Professor Lazarus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who steps out and can't stop touching himself.
Well, understandably so.
Understandably.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
You've lost like 40 or 50 years off your age. Whatever.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like putting Coco Potter on. Okay, so from here, where everyone's suitably impressed by Professor Lazarus's
grandstanding. I am overacting.
Yes. Yeah, and everyone's giddy at the idea of being young again.
Except Martha and the Doc.
One thing leads to another, and what's his face? Lazarus. What was his name again?
Oh,
Lasersaurus.
He's not Lasersaurus yet.
Oh, no, you're right. My next note here is, there is no, like, medical examination. Like, you would assume, especially since the machine went, like, something went wrong with it. There are no doctors at hand. There's no one to, like, even check his pulse. Like, he just steps out, and everyone assumes that because he's now sans wrinkles, it was a huge success.
Yeah, and then he does actually start exhibiting weird symptoms.
Yeah, almost right off the bat.
And no one says or does anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's a really shitty sign.
Apart from Martha, she's the one who says he should go and get some tests.
Yeah, okay, that's true. But, like,
no one on
know
staff.
That Martha was going to be there. Yeah.
No one that's part of the giant framework of testing.
Exactly.
and validating experiments and research.
So you've hired two lab coats to work the machine, but you haven't hired a single lab coat to, you know, put a stethoscope against his
head. Oh, no, they left. They all left. All of the, all the of entire them. Research staff thought,
screw this.
Fuck this. My grant has cleared. We are outy. I'm done now. I'm getting out of here before Lasersaurus turns up.
Oh.
Because being a clever person, I can see that coming a mile away.
He's now turned into a bit of a horn dog.
He's a horn dog from the very beginning.
He was a horn dog.
Oh, shit. We didn't talk about this. Yeah. He was like massively perving on What's-Her-Face.
And
Trish.
What's-Her-Face was
Tish,
super.
Sorry.
Tish was super repulsed by Wrinkly Gattis. But actually, slightly less Wrinkly Gattis with the idea of untold fortune.
Yeah.
Is a fucking winner, apparently.
Massive turn on.
20 minutes later.
Yeah, huge turn on.
Just exactly what attributes did she display to the interviewers for the HR role, PR role? I don't know, but she asked them all.
Happy to have sex with someone to advance her career, that sort of thing?
Yeah, that's sort of where I was going with that. And sort of where she was going with that when she talked to him later on.
All right, so Lazarus kisses Martha's hand.
Yep.
And it turns out this is a very clever move on Martha's part, because now she has a DNA sample on her hand. But what about all the other shit on her hands? Like, how many hands did she shake while she was there, for example?
Yeah, but I mean, if there's saliva, that's relatively easy to collect as a sample.
Oh, I suppose.
Yeah. I'm assuming it was quite, and it was actually, there was a close up on it. It was relatively
super
sloppy.
Slurpy.
Yeah.
So, basically just puts her hand in his mouth.
Yeah. Use it like a swab. a lot of cheek cells on that hand. But I'm willing to believe that. I'll buy that.
All right, fine. Yeah.
So Miss Havisham takes him upstairs to discuss business.
Oh, we're at this point now. Okay, yes, go for it.
Financials.
Yeah. So they go up to the implausibly decorated office and they're discussing their plans for world domination, which are mostly fiscal.
Yeah.
It's not really that evil of a plan.
Well, yes it is, but...
Wait, how is it evil?
Being incredibly rich, that's pretty evil.
Wait, yeah. What?
It just is.
In and of itself.
This is just like L'Oreal, just a few steps further. Or not L'Oreal, whatever, like skin oil of Ulay.
Yeah, but once you get a certain level of wealth, they replace your debit card with just like an equivalent card, but with horns on it.
Oh.
Mm. No, what this means is that the inequality will just continue to widen and... The wealth will concentrate in the hands of a few indefinitely living super wealthy. So that's it, entirely
yes.
The plan.
Okay,
and
sure.
And the rest of the world can be eaten or die or whatever. Well, they'll certainly die hundreds of years before these people.
All this week on Comrade Who. So the bourgeoisie are chatting and they're discussing the means of seizing production. And anyway, one thing leads to another. She is saying, well, we'll be incredibly wealthy and I'll be first in line. And they share a fairly passionate sloppy kiss, which again is supposed to be, I think, like jarring, a bit of a juxtaposition of a young person kissing a super old lady. But again, I didn't really see the clear distinction in their ages. I was kind of like, yeah, fair enough, that makes sense.
Yeah, plus we've already seen both of them same age. We know that they are a couple of some sort, right? Are they married? I'm not sure if they're married.
I don't know.
I think they just screw on a massive pile of money.
That's all. Well, they will anyway. Well, that's the idea.
In this country is basically married.
Okay.
As opposed to...
Well, like you,
where?
You bone someone on a pile of money and legally you're now...
Yeah, you enjoy
married.
All the same rights as married people. And some additional new rights that they don't even tell you about. Secret rights.
But for the reason, because of the fact that they've already been established as a couple,
yeah,
it really isn't that weird.
No.
And it seems very much like, oh, well, she is next in line. That's okay.
That's okay. But... Then he turns into a bastard.
Yeah, because clearly he's now going, well, I look like this. I don't need you anymore. Now I can just...
Now I'm phoning up Cara Delevingne today, because quite clearly she'll take my call. She'd have been about 15 at this point, maybe not that one. Like a supermodel that is age appropriate when this aired. Kate Moss. Let's say Kate Moss. Kate Moss? Kate Moss.
All right.
Sure, Kate Moss.
Yeah.
Age checks out.
You still don't look that great, Professor.
No, but he is banking on being rich.
I guess
but
so.
He's not even thinking about... I don't even think he's thinking of, like, supermodels. He's just thinking, well, I mean, I can see how wrinkly your face is. I'm totally going to stick it to someone young and fit and tight.
Like he was letting one from the very beginning.
Squidgy.
You can have one of those adjectives. You can't have all three. Pick your favourite.
Squidgy.
Squidgy. Okay.
Instead of what, powdery?
Yeah. Well,
dust,
at this deep. Yeah,
exactly, like it just takes off the pants, like this cloud of dust comes flying.
Moths fly everywhere.
Very sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so anyway, he's repulsed by her.
And then he starts having spasms. And this has one of my favourite lines of all time. Not just of Who, but I think of any recorded speech.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's one of her nonsensical
ones. Oh, it's a really good one.
It's such a good scene.
So he has lots of spasms. You know, he's not sure what's going on, and he starts writhing quite a lot of pain. He's on the floor, massive spasms, massive muscle twitches and those sort of things. And she goes,
are you
having a seizure?
No, it's just cramp.
it's like, what
do you think this is?
How long have you been going through life questioning people midway through seizures, whether they're having seizures? Or just general, like, is that what you do with all types of procedures? Like, are you going into operation? Theories go, are you having a myocardial infarction like right now? Is that happening?
They're applying the defibrillator.
What do I do?
Now it's a dead leg. I'll walk it off. I'll be fine.
But it is the first of, I think, three occasions in this episode where some character, always a female character, states the obvious.
Yes.
Because we get Martha doing the exact same later on.
Yeah, which is upsetting. But for anyway, this is when Lazarus turns into Lazarsaurus.
Lazarsaurus.
Who is essentially a big scorpion lobster monster.
I'd say he's more of an Ungehöres Ungeheuer. Apologies to Robert L. Malbrecht and all German people everywhere.
Wait, say that one more time, please.
Ungehöres Ungeheuer.
Ungeziefer, I think, was the last one.
Basically, it's what the guy in Kafka's Metamorphosis turns into, which is a giant insect thing, which isn't really ever specified.
Yeah, that's true. In my head, it was like more of a big beetle-y type deal.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely more of a big beetle-y type deal, but he...
Oh, you're thinking of Kafka now?
Yeah,
definitely a beetle.
He turns into a big insect-y thing. That's all I was going. And I was going to make a tenuous link via Kafka to a bit of trivia, which is that in 1995... Peter Capaldi himself won an Oscar for live short action film with his short film, Franz Kafka's It's a Wonderful Life.
That is so tenuous. Yeah. They may as well have been in... They are entirely separate anecdotes that you just said in one sentence.
I stitched together.
No, awesome. Audible high five. That was a great high five.
That's almost as bad as your link in our last classic.
Can't remember what that was.
It's awful though.
can't remember what it was. But this guy, he turns into a scorpion monster.
Scorpion lobster.
Scorpion lobster.
Scorpion lobster monster.
Lasersaurus.
Yes, but like this Lasersaurus is. I mean, it's the body of a scorpion with something else on the tail. Like something else that has an extra mouth or whatever on the tail.
Yeah, that gets Mavis.
As instead of a stinger. Mm. Yeah.
And it seems to suck the life force from humans.
Is that what it does?
Well, they all end up like
mummified. But is it something hippie-like, like life force, or is it like moisture?
I don't know.
It's all the living cells and energy is what I got from it. Oh, that's what he needs.
I'm going to say,
How does it do this? We never actually get to see it in action. We see the aftermath.
Which, by the way, if those are the next stages in evolution, sign me up. That sounds awesome.
Okay.
Well, I'm not so roam sure the streets as a lobster to the monster.
But how does it work?
I tell you what, it's quick and simple. So quick and simple, we don't need to figure it out.
The thing, no.
That's what the writers want.
All the people that could help you figure this out left the building.
No, but seriously, like we don't get to see it, probably because they just didn't figure it out, or maybe they couldn't afford the special effect or something. But the thing that approaches the Lasersaurus's victims is like a stinger, or it has not a stinger. It's like a
starts off like a stinger, and then it opens
to reveal a nice straw,
a little straw.
Little straw.
Oh, really?
Well, I don't know, but that's the nearest parallel. But we've there's got, not isn't
it? Yeah, but because it seems to me like whatever's coming at them is going to like eat them, as in actually like crunch them up and eat. Yeah. But then they just end up being dry, like they're just completely dehydrated and their clothes are completely intact.
Yeah, that's just the stinger part or his mouth mandibles. They fix them in position and then he just sucks really hard. Like this episode. It's all a metaphor. It's all layers, people.
Okay. So, Doc and Martha, they're looking at DNA.
They're looking at the double helix of Lazarus.
Yeah.
And they're like, doctors, did you see that? See what? It moved. How? Not only how, just generally, But how through the program that you're looking at?
Well, I've got another problem with this.
Go on.
Okay, so what we're seeing on the screen is we have like the regular human DNA, and occasionally it shifts and additional bits are added to it.
Yep.
And the additional bits, one assumes they're the Lasersaurus bits, right?
Yeah, the new amino acids and proteins and shit.
So the bit of DNA that is on her hand,
yeah,
that's turning into a Lasersaurus.
No, not necessarily.
Yeah, it is, because we see the DNA actually deforming.
Yeah, but DNA doesn't... Even if it's deforming, doesn't mean it's replicating.
So are you saying that it's turning into Lasersaurus saliva as opposed to human saliva?
Yeah.
No, that it was already Lasersaurus saliva. But it can't replicate, it doesn't grow.
Because I feel like it's actually, like, something is changing with that sample.
No, not necessarily. I mean, you can change things about DNA or things without any mass change.
Yeah, it's switching between states.
Yeah.
Okay, carry on.
Limited science knowledge.
Well, apparently, that's what the writers have, that there's hypersonic sound waves.
Oh, yeah.
And, by the way, that's inspired at least twice.
It's inspired.
Oh. Hypersonic sound waves. And then you've got...
At least it's not dead clever or some bullshit.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, I know.
It's just synonyms, man.
At least they found a different synonym. That long.
Yeah. And not only is there hyper sonic sound bollocks, there's also metagenics and things. Just pepper it with Greek prefixes and it'll sound sort of like science gobbledygook. It'll be fine. We'll get away with it.
Yeah.
But they now know that the you know, Mark Gatiss...
Shit's
about to go down with Miss Havisham, and they race upstairs, but they're too late.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, the lobster monster has managed to cram its form back into the skin sack that is young Lazarus.
Yeah. He's now donning a new suit.
A new suit? Where's he got that suit?
Yeah, exactly. He must have a wardrobe upstairs. No one, like, asks why he's suddenly wearing a new suit.
Also, how has he managed to tailor itself to that particular year that he was, like, you know...
Oh, yeah. That is a very... That is a bespoke suit that he's wearing.
Even about 3 or 4 years ago, my suits won't fit as well. So, like, over the course of the next 20 years, I feel like I'm going to need more than one suit.
This is your way of saying that you're both... old and successful.
Yeah. At Nickelady, ladies and gentlemen, get at me. I own more than one suit, if that's the measure.
And you did 4 years ago as well.
But not, my general point being, how has his tailor managed to knock that up? Unless he's just got a suite of...
Fuck that. Why does he have another suit to hand?
Nah, he's devoted his life to this experiment. He probably lives in the same building somewhere. He's just nipped back to his bedroom.
Actually, I suppose that's not a bad shout.
So he's gone down to get PR Trish.
Yeah.
Tish.
Letitia, I think.
Letitia. Mm. Woos her successfully just far too easily.
Letitia Jones. So I just wanted to drop that in there.
Soundbite. Yeah, he basically just goes, hey, Letitia, remember when I was a total creepoid and made myself guilty of various degrees of sexual harassment in the workplace?
Well, I'm still that guy, but check it out. Just like crow's feet.
Yeah. You know what else isn't covered in liver spots anymore?
Why am I picturing his dick?
I mean, there are some liver spots, but she's not covered. Yeah, guess your prostate's not a problem anymore. Anyhow.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Check my prostate.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah. They pop upstairs to... Yeah, they go to the roof.
They go to the roof.
Yeah. Because I was about to say, like, yeah, Tish has a stupid line, but no, it's Martha who has the stupid line about the rooftop in a bit. But yeah, so they go up to the roof.
Yeah.
Where he continues to just perv on her. And Doc and Martha now head upstairs and find the dead body.
Yes. Yeah. It's at that point that they work out, not exactly how, but that he's managed to extract the life force from...
Exactly.
Yeah. The doctor... using his sonic powers. More sonic? How many sonic? What sonic count are we up to?
This is only the second.
Okay, fair enough then. So
but we did have the supersonic whatever, what's it, from the closet of, the magic closet of turny thingies.
Yeah, that was the first one.
That's the first
one. Oh, that is the first one.
Yeah. Yeah, they're relatively restrained up to this point.
Wait.
Yeah.
If that's the first one,
yeah.
then this is the third sonic, because the doctor also uses his sonic to fix the, to you know, avert explosion.
Oh, I thought that's what you were talking about.
That's the first Sonic.
The actual technology powering the rejuvenation closet is Sonic in nature, is it not?
Yes, but we only count Sonic Screwdriver.
You're talking Sonic Screwdriver. Okay,
yeah.
Fine.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're not talking hypersonic resonance fields. That's way too inspired.
Yeah. So anyway, the Doctor has located Lazarus by way of his sonic, and he's pointing up to the ceiling.
Oh, exactly.
And Martha says, but we're on the top floor.
What's up there? Oh.
The roof.
The roof.
They're in a low-flying hot air balloon.
Yeah.
So up they go. Totally cock-block Lazarus.
Huge. Oh, whilst quoting Elliot.
Oh, yeah. There's a bit of T.S. Eliot in there. And
I know Drew has stuff to say about this, but he won't.
Oh,
absolutely don't. I haven't read any T.S. Eliot ever in my life, so
all right.
Please cut me out.
What a wasteland. Fuck you. You go on with an Eliot joke.
You guys got a bit confused with the upsy-downsies, because Doc and Martha went down in the lift just as Tish and Lazarus came up. And so they've gone downstairs before this happens, and Mum's drink gets spilled because Tish runs away. And then a mysterious man arrives on the scene.
A mysterious man.
Do you know that man?
Mysterious man. Gonna give us exposition.
I advise you choose your friends more carefully, or whatever it is.
Yeah. Doesn't introduce himself.
No.
I mean,
doesn't establish any credence.
Exactly.
Like, if you were to pop over.
Those are the exact words I was going to say. Like, there is no reason for the mother, whatever her name is, I can't remember her name, there's no reason for her to trust him.
Yeah.
He's just, oh, whatever.
Yeah, he could be a jilted lover, for all she knows.
Yeah.
And, you know, that seems to be where her mind is going when the doctor's in town. So
very much so.
What about this guy? It's like, I'm unusually interested in your daughter for no reason.
We're back on the roof. Tish has been saved from mortal danger while she was going to get a Catherine Zeta-Jones on.
Mm-hmm.
And he turns into a monster, back into the lobster monster.
Yeah.
And tries to kill them all.
Bingo bongo.
And they run off downstairs to save everyone. All the people that are downstairs. They went to save all the people that are downstairs.
Hang on.
All right,
before
we go
anywhere,
yes.
Yeah.
We have to discuss the face.
Yo.
Oh.
The Lazarus monster's face.
Oh, I thought you were talking about David Tennant, because that's his face.
No.
Not a prosthetic. That is his face.
We've seen a bit of him before. We've seen his spurs of ribs poking out of his back or something.
Yeah.
And now he stands up quite slowly, and he looks fairly decent most of the way up, I thought. I actually thought, since you see so much of the monster in the episode, that the CGI on most of it isn't actually quite bad. But he's got this just template face on the front.
Is it just... I think they've tried to make it Gatiss-like. Have they not?
Do you think so?
I think this is basically 1/10 of the animatronic stroke, you know...
Oh, it's 100% CGI.
Yeah, CGI that they, you know, similar type of technology that they use on, you know, whatever great Hollywood production, but they've just managed to cobble it together and using After Effects on their Mac.
But most of that creature looks really good.
Yeah, apart from the face.
I mean, okay, the composite work is not ideal, because when it's in an actual shot, you can tell which bit is CGI and which bit is not. But as a model, it looks awesome.
But they definitely should have just left the face they'd have better off creating some sort of more freaky looking face rather than
trying to make it Mark Gatiss-like.
Yeah. It's in the uncanny valley, isn't it? Between you've tried to make this look like Mark Gatiss' face and it's something different.
Having said that, let's put a screen grab on the site and let people decide, right?
Yeah. Well, comment on that.
I tell you what, I've done some research for this episode. I got a screenshot of this Lazarus face, put it into a face detection software online. Which celebrity do I look like?
Awesome.
On one site, I got Dustin Hoffman.
Oh, burn on Dustin Hoffman.
I got Warwick Davis.
What?
Mark Gatiss, nowhere to be seen, obviously.
That's really cool.
That's good.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, we should tweet Mark Gatiss.
Yeah, let's put more shit in that software. Put some ood in there and see who comes up.
That is a good segment. That would be a good segment.
Yeah. Bonus episode.
Also, I just want to say that at this point, we start to see some of the limitations in Tish's acting, I think.
Okay.
Like, Tish is like, what is that? And the doctor's like, run. Nobody seems to have any energy in this segment, I guess because it's all CGI later on. But
that, yeah, exactly. That might be another one of those cases. Do you think that when they were shooting this, they knew what they were supposedly acting or reacting to?
What's the director's
Direction.
No, the directions. What's the director's notes going to be? Look pretty fucking scared. It's going to be. Yeah. Use your imagination. It's going to be as scary as possible. Don't underplay it. I mean, when has there been understatement in this episode up to this point? And now it's just like, oh, we're probably going to die.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, so one thing leads to another.
This is where Olive Lady turns up.
I was about to say.
Oh, this is the best bit. Not the best bit, but it's one of them. So the doctor gives Martha some instructions and the sonic screwdriver to go do something to a door, right?
Yeah, go and do the lamest, I'm going to slide across the hood of a car, but at the reception desk.
Yep, and he announces to the room, everyone's in grave danger, and Olive Lady says...
Soundbite.
Don't be ridiculous. The biggest danger here is choking on an olive.
Thanks for taking no time to validate his concern whatsoever. Not the second question being, what's danger?
What do you mean? Yeah. Why do you look so panicked? Like, what is going on?
Is the building on fire and I'm not aware of it? Is there some description of flash flood? Have there been terrorists a la Die Hard?
Also, wait, hang on, what? Let's all listen to the guy who literally just saved us all maybe 10 minutes ago.
Oh, yes.
I mean, they all saw him jump in, like, actually intervene with the machinery. Clearly, this guy can be trusted, or at least heard. Like,
is the giant closet in the middle of the room going to melt down and, you know, create some sort of half-life zombie-fied version of you rich dum-dums? Okay, so the rich dum-dums don't flee until they see Lasersaurus.
He eats Olive Lady, I think. Yeah, he sucks her off.
Yeah, this is natural selection at work. Yeah. He's evolved... And she's clearly one of the least evolved.
We saw him as Mark Gatiss, young Mark Gatiss, enjoying the olives. Now he's going for the human who tastes thereof.
Oh, I think that it's even better than that. I think even as Lobstosaurus, he retains some of his own humanity. And he thinks, that's the dummiest dum-dum. That's the dumbest dum-dum that has dum-dummed. I need to have that one.
I think it's just a case of that incredibly frequently appearing trope of the one person who says there's nothing to worry about is the person who buys it.
Yeah. Plus, he's a terrible old lech, so he's going to for a woman.
Exactly.
And her delicious fleshy body parts.
Yeah.
Olives.
Basically everyone escapes, and the only people who are, Martha goes back in because she's heroic, and now the only people in the building are Lasersaurus, Doc and Martha.
Yeah. And this is the first time Lasersaurus talks as Lasersaurus.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's basically echoey Mark Gatiss.
Mm. Yeah, pitch-shifted Mark Gatiss.
Yeah, exactly.
But also, I think the Doctor... I mean, the Doctor's not wrong, obviously, because Mark Gatiss is one note, play it as evil as you possibly can throughout. And, you know, you can turn into a monster, you can find yourself a different species, but you could be all Jeff Goldblum and like, oh, you should probably kill me because I'm going to do something awful. But Mark Gatiss, he has no qualms whatsoever about, right, I'm a murderous killing machine now. I'm going to get right on that.
By the way, the fly...
Yes.
According to IMDb, another one of the inspirations for Mr. Green Thumb, whatever his name was, Greenhorn. The guy who wrote this, anyway. He was inspired by The Fly, by... Oh, what was it? The Fly, The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Spider-Man villains, Dr. Octopus, and the Green Goblin.
Well, the scene in Spider-Man 2, with Doc Ock, it's pretty much a direct parallel. He invites loads of people to his harebrained, Doc Ock to his harebrained thing, and it all goes tits up, and invents a super villain.
Bingo.
Yeah, and while you're talking about Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Dr. Jekyll's like, oh, I hate that guy. Whereas Mark Gatiss, when he's back to normal, is like, I can't wait to be him again and get me some grub.
Okay, so Martha and Doc are back doing battle with Lasersaurus. Lasersaurus traps them in the, what are we calling that? The time cabinet.
The time cabinet, yeah, exactly.
And then sexy happenings happen.
Oh, God. Isn't it pretty obvious that the Doctor just wants a BJ? It's his idea to jump into the pod.
Yep.
And when she goes, oh, right, so here we are, what's the plan? He basically goes, I don't know, I just figured we could be really close to each other. And
having said that,
I would go down here.
He's the one that goes down.
Oh, yeah.
So,
is there a look on her face at that point? Is there like a, oh,
yes,
where's he going?
I think so. I absolutely think so. I think that is very much a visual entendre. Singular? Double? I don't know.
Double?
Double.
Double.
Let's make it a double. Make it a double.
Triple.
That way they both get some.
Two fingers.
Yeah. And so at this point, Lasersaurus cleverly figures out that he can push this monster-sized button.
But wait, Nick, did we not put a pin in something early on in this episode?
Let's remove that pin right now. Let's remove the pin right now. So Lasersaurus has the bright idea of starting up his fabulous age-defying machine.
Yeah. Does he plug the machine back in?
No, he does not.
Ah.
Just presses the big button.
How does that work?
Well, the big button is monster-friendly, as yes. we've already
good ergonomics.
Ascertained, but the power cable is not. Fiddly. Opposable thumbs.
Yeah, he would never be able to do that. But also, it doesn't even matter. He doesn't do it.
No.
This is just a straight-up plot hole.
Huge.
Yeah.
Unless some very conscientious and idiotic research scientist
thought, those two lab coats.
Let's put that back in.
They came back. They were like, oh, wait, this isn't meant to be unplugged.
Plug that back in and now promptly leave. So the machine starts wearing round, and they're all very scared because they'll be slightly younger.
And also possibly turn into Lasersauruses.
I mean, how upset would you be as the Doctor being a little bit younger?
Oh, well, what if he steps in and then he steps out as Eccleston?
What if
I don't think it would work that way. But
He'd have to be Davison. He's the youngest, isn't he, to that point?
Oh, but as, like, was thinking like a prior incarnation, but yeah, I suppose you're right.
I think he'd just continue to be Tennant.
Just a younger Tennant.
Yeah.
All right, done.
And Martha would be a baby.
Weird that she would turn into a baby as he's going down on her.
Oh.
Cut 100% fuck out.
Cut that
and we're back.
Out. Awful.
So anyway, the Doctor's got to come up with another plan.
Yeah.
So
is this another Sonic?
Yes, I think Martha could have come up with this plan. Why don't we do the thing you always do and get out the Sonic and point it at something?
Point your Deus Ex Machina machine at something.
Yeah, exactly. Sonic use number 5.
Lazarus is now back to Lazarus and naked and in custody and everyone's happy.
Yes, exactly. Well, yeah, he there's a Doctor Who reference, as in there's an intra-Doctor Who reference here, because the Doctor reverses the polarity, which is, it's virtually a tagline. In fact, I think the full term is reverse the polarity of the neutron flow.
Yeah.
What does he say? It's like, oh, it normally isn't that tricky to reverse the polarity. Yeah, because you do it all the fucking time, dude.
Yeah, it's because Marv had it stuck on setting 54, which works for everything else.
But yeah, so, and it's by doing that, or in doing that, he believes that Mark Gatiss is now
monstered.
Monstered, yeah.
I don't know, I reckon he's just dead, he thinks.
Do you think so?
Yeah, because Mark Gatiss, he stretched himself thin, the Doctor says, so he's going to be vulnerable to a massive energy blast. They're just going to tear him apart.
Oh,
and
so
completely
he's trying to
kill him off. I reckon so.
Oh, interesting. Because I was going to say, wait, hang on, if he... Because I thought this was another plot hole. I thought, oh, the Doctor wants to reverse what's happened to him, but in doing so, wouldn't he end up looking like old Mark Gatiss again? Why is he still young Mark Gatiss? That was going to be my
criticism. Agree with Leon, I think. Especially because then he goes and is with paramedics and that sort of thing.
I don't think when he says, I'm going to reverse this, I think all he's doing is saying instead of
the energy coming in
from the edge, it's going to go out from the edge and blow him up. And it made him young this time, now it's making him old again thing. I mean, I guess there's no body bag when the paramedics take him out.
He's put in an ambulance and cared for by two people.
Anyone explain the shift in mass between Lasersaurus and Lazarus?
This is what I meant by the extra bits being added to the DNA on that shitty GIF animation that we saw before.
Yeah. Okay, let's say
those extra bits are the bits of...
Okay,
like,
let's say...
Whatever.
That's not necessarily how DNA works, but let's say that...
How it works.
Let's say that that's how mass gets added to things.
It takes up mass, right? And there's shit tons of it.
Oh, my God.
I don't think any mass gets added.
No, but let's say... Okay, volume, at the very least. That's a giant...
I'm sorry, mass is clearly being added. This thing is a dinosaur.
That's why the Doctor says he's stretching himself really thin.
Yeah.
Because he's like an 11-stone dinosaur.
Oh,
essentially.
You mean literally he is stretching himself thin?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
What?
But that's
clearly just... No, he's been exerting himself and he hasn't eaten anything in a while. And he said very early on, oh, in order to sustain this, you need to consume a tremendous amount of whatever. Like, this is why he eats all the hors d'oeuvres. This is why he eats the wrinkly lady and so on and so forth. And Olive Woman.
Oh, yeah, he would have picked up some mass from her.
The reference that sprang to mind, when he first turns into the Lasersaurus upstairs with wrinkly lady, it looked to me a little bit like they were trying to mimic the American Werewolf in London scene when he first turns into a werewolf.
Mm.
Like, it's very similar, like the way that he rides on the floor and so on and so forth. And that too is the skeleton increases in mass, the thing, like, it pushes out of his body, basically, just like in this case.
Yeah.
Like the scorpion dinosaur pushes out of the Mark Gatiss casing.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mark Gatiss is now naked and in an ambulance.
Mm.
And is it now that the same mysterious man as before approaches Martha's mum?
Yes, but with more details.
Yes, that we are not privy to.
No, that they're like, hitherto, I'm going to speak to you normally because there's no one around that will also be interested in this information. But now I'm going to put my hand over your ear, just in case someone's trying to use dramatic irony. There's an audience that I'm unaware of. I'm just going to shield everyone from this fourth wall.
But the only thing, I mean, he just whispers something and then leaves, right? That's what he does.
Yeah, pretty much.
And later on, from what we can glean from what is the mum's name again? Oh, whatever.
Future Punk, innit?
Okay, Future Punk. Bing bong, Future Punk in here. That would be Francine Jones, a.k.a. Franny. Franny? Yeah, I'm going to go with Franny. Franny Jones! Bing bong. What we can glean from what she says about having heard about the Doctor, what she now knows about the Doctor is, A, this comes directly from Mr. Saxon himself, and B, he's super dangerous.
Also, I've got to say...
But the dude, the mysterious man, never, like, presented credentials. He's not Mr. Saxon. Like, there's no reason to believe anything.
Also, who the fuck is Mr. Saxon at this point? I know later on, and we'll discover that he becomes Prime Minister, but I think at this juncture he isn't.
No, I think he's just...
And it's just
like,
some description of...
Is he just not just, like, an up-and-coming politician? That
well, he also has quite a lot of massive private funding.
Funds, yeah.
Earlier, there was... wasn't there an orders come from Mr. Saxon? Directly from Mr. Saxon? He's in a position of some power,
yeah,
politically.
Yeah, exactly.
But maybe not Prime Minister yet.
No, but that's... It's like
but it's not like... If someone came up to us like, this comes from George Osborne, I'd be like, could give a fuck? I don't care.
I was going to go Gove.
Gove. Yeah. Any of the cabinets. Also David Cameron, because I could dick.
Or bang a pig, whichever.
Yeah, whatever.
But, okay, yeah, so he says nothing, and the mum just buys it. As in, she just... Hook, line, and sinker is what
I'm saying. You know what he tells her? I want to get close to you.
Right, so yada, yada, yada. He suddenly just escapes. I don't think there's a scream or anything. They just go to the ambulance and... Oh, wait, I've missed something.
You've missed an epic slap.
Oh, you're
an
right.
An amazing slap. I mean, unless she actually just cracked Tennant across the face, I don't know how they did it.
I think she actually slapped him. I think that was a good enough slap for
and
that to
be
real.
And he liked it. I am sure he did.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he?
Yeah. And then you get his line, every fucking mother or whatever it is.
That's exactly what he says, every fucking mother.
Yeah, always the mother. It's like, probably not of any of the dudes you abducted. Turns out there are none of those. Not since wee little Jamie have you abducted a dude.
Not true.
No, I know.
Also, he only alights on the women whose fathers aren't around to front up and tell him to back off.
Also true.
Yes. Yeah, sure.
Apparently.
That's a theme. Even Donna Noble next. Yeah, that's weird, isn't it? Okay, moving on.
Okay, so he gets slapped, and then they walk up to the ambulance. There's not been a scream. There's not been anything, as far as I'm aware. He's just gone, and the two paramedics have now been drained of their life force as well.
Yeah, you got one with the face and one with the tail at exactly the same time, right in the neck parts, so they couldn't make a sound.
So are you trying to say that while he was in the confined space of the ambulance, he turned into the enormous dinosaur scorpion, face-hugged both of them, and like no one made a sound, no one noticed anything, and then he scurried off, as Mr. Dinosaur, or possibly he turned back into Naked Gatiss and ran off, and no one noticed a thing.
That's exactly what I'm saying, because I wrote this episode.
Oh, okay, well, no, that makes perfect sense.
Okay, more though. So they can see Southwark Cathedral from the office.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it looks relatively far away. I mean, like...
It looks like a block
away. A few blocks.
Oh, hang on. When they're outside, it looks a block away. When they're up on the rooftop, it looks a good ways away.
Mm.
I think? Pretty sure.
Yeah.
Honest, I could never actually... I watched that scene over and over again, trying to figure out where it was through the window.
Exactly. And so when they get to... When the ambulance is parked directly outside Southwark Cathedral, which was an incredibly short walk away from the steps in which everyone was comforting themselves.
Ah, but did you see how many doors they had to go through to get out of that building? It stretches for like half a mile at the base.
Could have been the Thames Estuary by the time they were done. Anyhow.
Yeah.
So they're in Southwark Cathedral.
Yeah. The way that they find it is the Dr. Sonics again.
Number six.
He uses the sonic to detect the
energy signal.
That's the one. They track it. They use this tracking signal to get into the cathedral, at which point Martha says, do you think he's in here?
Literally, no, we just popped into here because we're really pious today.
This would be number two or, you know, number X along the lines of, let's have a female character say the obvious.
Well, this is actually quite a tender scene with Marcus sat in front of the font.
Yeah.
The lectern.
And sort of struggling not to turn back into Lasersaurus, at least for a while.
Yes. And he'd alluded to this earlier, but he gives us some good backstory as to why he became a villain, and it was all to do with the Germans.
Yeah. Oh, that's my note. The Nazis are to blame.
Yeah. The Nazis have created more supervillains than I think any specific regime. Any fictional.
Even superhero. Indirectly, as is the case here.
They're like history Earth Daleks or something.
Not the other way around.
No.
They're not future space Nazis. No. Yeah, exactly. So we get the little spiel about... Oh, actually, that was the other... someone says the obvious. It was about the Blitz.
Oh, yeah, that was the Doctor.
It's the Doctor. It's not a female character. It's the Doctor. And it's like, when I was a kid, I was in that cathedral and...
There were bombs coming. It was like, the Blitz. Like, no.
No.
No, that was just 1974. It was just after the 66 Cup final. I was here. There were bombs. It was horrible.
Well, yeah, you know, the IRA and all that. But maybe kids are watching this who haven't studied this in school yet. And, you know, they don't automatically know what the hell any of them are on about. They've got to be fairly obvious to cater to all the audience.
It's alluded to beforehand. We do actually mention. Although they don't say the Blitz. Miss Havisham and
No, it's just the Doctor who says the Blitz. It's never acknowledged.
We have been glossing over a lot of the slower, tender, more talky scenes in this episode, which I think are actually some of the best bits, where the Doctor is a wise old alien. He's lived for thousands of years, and he has a genuine perspective and wisdom that he can impart.
Oh, no, that's a very good point.
But never really does.
No, because Gatiss isn't listening.
No, well, Gatiss is listening, but he never questions it. The Doctor very clearly, like, he way more than insinuates that he is also super duper old.
Well, there was one point, it's like, oh, I was the Blitz. It's like, you're too young. It's like, question that more.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he even says, like, oh, you're younger than you look as well. It's like, no, yeah, exactly.
And they just share a moment and laugh. Yes, yeah, we are, aren't sense. We? Because that makes sense.
And also, the Doctor has already proven to Gatiss, to Lazarus, that he knows all about the technology behind his wibbly-wobbly closet. So wouldn't also the assumption maybe on Lazarus' part would be, oh, he has used similar technology to make himself younger.
No, Professor Lazarus is the least inquisitive scientist.
Think he got to where he is by asking questions? No.
It's like, I've just spent my life doing this, and you understand it with little to no... I mean, you're a plus one.
Anyway, Drew, I think you had a point to make.
The point I am leading up to, why I'm dragging you back to this scene against your will, is because the Doctor lays into him about the body count, and he's like, oh, the other people, they were nothing, they were ordinary. And then,
sound bites.
The Doctor...
Cringe.
There's no such thing as an ordinary human.
Deborah from Hull, we salute you.
Also, not familiar with the band The Ordinary Boys.
Yeah, nor I, to be honest. Yeah, that's a tenantism. But okay, so now do we get the chase scene?
Yes, you can have your chase scene now.
Martha takes the reins, she takes the initiative, and...
and stops every 10 feet to have a little chat.
With her sister.
I'm sorry, can we clarify what the plan is? Is it still running from Lobster Monster? Okay, let's carry on.
Yeah, not just that. Can we just stop and have a look? Yeah, he's still chasing us. Is he? Yeah, he's chasing us. All right.
Is he still on a murderous rampage?
Yeah.
Yep.
Is he behind us?
So where should we go from here? Should we go forward? Should we take the one route up the bell tower? The only way we can go? Should we go that way?
Let's go to the end. What's at the end? The bell?
What do we do when we get there?
The bell end.
Well, let's start with the immediate problem first.
So they're now running up towards the bell, and the Doctor is going to... What the hell?
I have no idea. He's going to musically jump some description of shark.
He is going to the organ that has all kinds of inputs and outputs. In fact, it's sonic screwdriver compatible.
Yeah, he just wedges his magic stick right into that organ.
You have to pay.
Oh, wow.
It's also Bluetooth.
I thought there was going to be a different Spider-Man thing happening here, to be honest. I was thinking of, is it Spider-Man 3?
Yeah.
Where the black Spider-Man monster?
Venom.
Oh, well done, Chaps. Where Venom is being distracted by the bell.
Yeah.
I thought that's what was going to happen.
Mm. That's what I thought was going to happen. Yeah. But it turns out we just needed more Tenant time.
And we needed more super inspired hypersonic mega sound waves, which is just amplification.
It's just amplification.
That is all it is, isn't it? Because it's not like, if anything, he drowns out the sound of the sonic screwdriver with the organ. Like, we don't hear it. I mean, we as listeners don't hear it.
It turns it up to 11.
God damn it.
Oh, my days.
Why? And he literally does as well, because this organ has an LCD display that now shows 111.
Also, who are you talking to?
Yeah, good question.
Fuck you.
So yeah, I mean, obviously they can't do Scorpion Lasersaurus turning into Gatiss. But if they started, if it had started flashing between states, you might think, maybe there is some hypersound resonance
going on. It just annoyed him enough to have let go.
Yeah.
That was it. That was the whole plan.
All right, so fine. He falls down, but before he does so, he, like, slaps Martha, or at the very least, he gets her to now hang on by one hand from up there as well.
Incredible amount of upper body strength.
Oh, yeah.
She's been hitting the gym hard.
Yeah, and so is Tish.
What else is she going to do? He's not going to
pull her up. One arm. They're going to pull an entire human.
She cries out for the doctor. He looks up, kind of goes, no, he doesn't even say anything.
No, he goes, Martha. He's like, thanks for that, dude.
Yeah. He doesn't run after. He doesn't see if he can help in any way. She then acknowledges, I'm okay, after her sister helps her. And he does not respond at all. He literally just goes downstairs to have a look at Naked Gatiss. Oh, and here's the other thing where it seems like there's just like a shift, whatever, between states. Because Gatiss is now naked young Gatiss.
Yep.
Yes, smooth pink Gatiss. So pink.
And the doctor like moves his hand over his eyes, like wants to close his eyes. And when he moves his hand back, he's now old Gatiss.
Yeah, it's like leaving a cup of tea out for too long. It gets that film, you know, that like weird skin on it.
But it's also instantaneous.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because all the energy departed, so you couldn't maintain that state.
Right. Okay.
Because he died and everything.
Oh, okay.
Except, in fact, when we all die, we turn into old Mark Gatiss.
Oh, God.
Or Lasersaurus.
Wow, really looking forward to that.
If we metagenically rejuvenated our DNA, then maybe.
What does that even mean?
Well, I'll tell you what it means. It means an awful lot, because I wrote the episode. And so it means that I'm right, damn it.
We meet the mum again. She talks about Lowe's, hates him, and this is where she says, Mr. Saxon.
That's the last.
No. Oh, fuck balls. Yeah, you're right. That's on the answering machine. Okay, so where are we now?
In the bedroom.
We just cut to the bedroom.
We're in the bedroom.
We haven't spoken to family members. We haven't spoken to the police or anything.
No, we're in the bedroom, baby.
Wouldn't they have spoken to the family, though? Wouldn't they have gone, like... Oh,
who were
by
just
the way,
outside.
Yeah, exactly.
Just outside the door.
By the way, like mum and brother, both of... like, at least speak to the mother. Like, both of your daughters are okay.
I feel like that's worth a debrief. Like a kebab debrief. Like, let's all go get a curry and discuss the weird lobster monster that was trying to murder
us all. Why didn't they just... At no point do we get, like... at the very least, the mother and Leo is his name, the brother.
I'll tell you why. Because Leo has concussion, so the mum's taken him to hospital.
Oh, shit.
Let's all convene at the hospital and talk about the lobster monster that tries to murder us.
At no point does anyone look at another, like, relatively main character and go, oh, what the fuck just happened? like, did you see that? Am I the only one who just saw that? There was a huge dinosaur scorpion, pretty sure.
Yeah.
My very beliefs have been shocked before. Apparently thermodynamics don't apply anymore. Let's discuss that for a little while.
In fact, no one even says, it was pretty cool how he rejuvenated, right? I mean, that was pretty badass. Pretty sure that was pretty cool.
Not a single dum-dum is saying, I gotta get me one of these glowy blue sticks. They can do anything.
Exactly.
doctor, sell me your glow music. I'll take 20. Ship them to Monaco.
Okay, so we cut to Martha's bedroom.
Yeah.
And
the roles have completely reversed.
In what sense?
in the sense that Doctor's now, oh yeah, you got to come along. So Martha's going to be like, no, I don't want to.
Yeah, well, he says, you can come along for one more.
Oh, this annoys me so much.
Why?
Semantically, it really just...
I don't think it's annoying at all.
No, what annoys me about this is that, so, oh, you can come along if you want to. No, I don't want to if I'm just just your person that you want to bring along.
No, that's not what she says. I don't think that's the...
What did she say?
I think her problem is that he says almost exactly what he said, I guess, one or two journeys ago. Where he said, come around for just one more. And she doesn't want to come around for just one more. She wants to be the regular cast member.
Mm.
She doesn't want to be guest starring Martha Jones, not quite a doctor. She wants to be... I'm a companion.
I feel like they label it too much. Just go. Just go.
And also, you would be a stone-cold idiot to decline. Yeah, go for one more. At the, like, wait, 100%. What's the option? Stay in your bedroom.
Yeah.
Maybe listen to your answering machine. No, fuck you. You're definitely stepping into the time machine.
I've been to Putney. It ain't as good.
but she, well, I suppose you have explained the scene so that it makes more sense.
It's pride, basically.
It's better to me. It's pride, and also, well, I guess she's just really equivocal about the Doctor. Yeah, I love following him around, but the fact he doesn't notice me really pisses me off about half the time.
So what? She gets to see space aliens. Yeah, worth it. Right? You'd be denied by someone you're romantically interested in, for a good long while, if as a side effect you get to travel through space and time.
I feel like you misunderstand my ego. It needs to be acknowledged.
Yeah, she loves the Doctor that much. She can't be in the same TARDIS as him unless he's boning her.
Well, that's clearly not going to happen. Anyway.
Also, we get the biggest lie of the whole series.
Oh, what's that?
Up to this point.
You matter.
No. You were never just a passenger.
Oh, bullshit.
Utter bullshit.
I got a meeting in the morning, so if you could just... But you were a swell gal, though. I had a great night. Let's do this again sometime. I'm just in a really weird space, so maybe when I figured my stuff out, maybe we can get back together, go for a drink. But you were great.
Is that it? They go and then the answering machine. Yes.
That reveals that he's no good for you, this doctor. This information comes from
Mr. Mr. Saxon himself.
It's like I said, can you ever imagine getting that answer machine?
I know this because a mysterious man whispered it into my ear and then walked away.
Maybe he's the Minister for Information, because only something that...
Who is the current Minister for Information?
Is there such a thing as a Minister for Information?
I don't think so. But exactly, I have some information from Mr. Saxon. This is the only way it could possibly mean anything. If it's like, the Culture Secretary called and he says you're in danger. It's like, what?
The Minister for Sport.
Yeah. The Minister for Rural Affairs says don't go to Devon or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, and now we get to see the next time on Doctor Who, yada, yada, yada. Which one's that again? Oh, yeah, it's the one that looks exactly like Satan Pit.
Yes.
Or the Impossible Planet,
42?
Anyway. 42? That's the one, 42. And we go towards the end credits, and there are two characters credited in there. One is Olive Woman, and the other is...
Oh, mysterious man, want to know more about you,
want to foreshadow you.
End
featuring Mr. Saxon.
End of Lazarus Effect.
Oh.
I'm going to turn on the lights.
Experiment.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what it was.
Reviews. Okay, so jumping into reviews. This episode for me personally was just so much filler for no particular reason. You know, lots of, I think, just a foreshadowing of Mr. Saxon without any real substance to the entire story, really. They had a fairly what seemed like actually quite an interesting backstory for one of their villains, but his motivation didn't seem necessarily incredibly clear as to why you'd go for, I want to rejuvenate myself as a young person and now I'm a murderess. Like, I feel like that there's a gap there in his morals that isn't fully explained as to wanting to be young and then wanting to murder. Martha continues to be poorly written. Sometimes has agency, sometimes, you know, we're aware that she's obviously quite clever, a trainee doctor, and then it's all taken away from her in shitty lines and silliness. And the doc is just running around ego, pointing his screwdriver at stuff and fixing stuff. Nothing's really complicated about the interaction. He doesn't have... as Drew points out at one point, he's literally talking to someone that has figured out how to do what he does, which is regenerate, give or take, and doesn't really try to connect. Not really. Not go, actually, do you know what? I physically can do this, and it's shit. He says it, but it doesn't actually say those words. And it's endlessly frustrating. We miss so much in the way of tenderness and exploration with these characters. And I don't know. I never watched this episode back, which is one of the few episodes of New Who that I've never seen twice, for very good reason. Going for a 0.8.
Wow. Oh.
Sorry, Mark.
And Mr. Green Thumb.
And Dr. Green Thumb.
Exactly. Do you want to go next or shall I?
You go next.
Okay.
I'm going to summon some energy from somewhere.
Why don't you just suck it out of a wrinkly lady?
Just go sit in that cabinet over
there. Yeah, I'm hoping your review will resonate with me.
Okay, I agree with everything you've just said, except for maybe the rating, because I think it's...
I've gone too harsh. Perhaps I've gone too
marginally
harsh.
Better than that.
I can't remember what I give other things, so I'm always in the
situation every single time, and then I look back at the ratings and go, actually, that makes no sense. definitely want to reiterate one of your points, and that is that Martha's terribly written in this one, and I think it extends to characters other than Martha as well. The Doctor's not particularly well written. Martha's sister, what's her name? Tish. Not very well written. This episode is not particularly well written, and I think it's quite remarkable, really, considering that the man who wrote this, Dr. Green Thumb, he's not a bad writer. He wrote two other episodes of Doctor Who that are, well, okay, well, one of them. Yeah, one of them is really, really good.
Also, that the lead, one of the lead characters is a very good writer.
Yeah, exactly.
And doesn't ever stick his hand up and go, is this really shit what we're doing? Should we do something else?
Should we maybe not do this? Maybe we shouldn't be doing this, guys. Was he a producer of Doctor Who? Because he definitely he didn't produce this episode anyway, but I think at some point he did produce episodes. Anyway, yeah, you're right. Mark Gatiss is one of the heavyweights at the BBC, and still he's part of this. But maybe at the time, maybe as they were making this episode, everyone just thought, guys, we are just nailing it left, right, and center.
Oh, man.
This is the shit.
Yeah, so you know what I think's happened?
Yeah.
Is that they needed to produce, say, 12 episodes, 13 episodes. They just accidentally...
Made this one?
They accidentally forgot to make... they made 12, like... Well, it's a wrap, guys. Like, no, we need 13.
Oh, fuck.
Right. Okay, who's here? Mark's here.
Dr. Green Thumb. Dr. Green Thumb. You're 5 minutes go, Doc.
Yeah. Here's a bunch of napkins in a biro. Let's go. Where's Free? Southwark Cathedral. Let's go.
It's possible, isn't it? Because there are episodes that someone famous was going to write, like... I don't know, maybe not Stephen Fry, but someone like
Stephen
Fry
was meant to...
Neil Gaiman has written episodes.
Yes, but
Stephen Fry was meant to write something that we looked at quite recently.
Yeah, and maybe that was going to drop in this series, and they genuinely did say, we need an extra episode, this actually isn't happening, guys.
Or they just picked one of the episodes off the slush pile that they had previously discarded and just produced it anyway. Yeah. But, okay, anyway.
You draw the short straw, Dr. Green Thumb, you're going to put your name on it.
Okay, well, so, yeah, it's not a particularly well-written episode. Ugh. Okay, here's one thing that we didn't really discuss, but that pisses me off immensely and intensely, and that is, at one point, the Doctor explains why Lazarus has turned into the Lasersaurus, and that is because he has latent Lasersaurus genes. So does this mean that his great-great-granddad was a scorpion? Or like a lobster.
No, it just means we share 60% of our DNA with crustaceans, which we probably do.
What?
Seriously. We share a surprising proportion of DNA with a worm.
To be honest, I think it's more like 98% of most living things. But that still doesn't really detract from Leon's point.
No.
Because the other 40% is the specifically scorpion stuff.
Yeah, which is exactly what happens in this episode.
People say that, it's like, it's very much, it's like, yeah, there are only a certain amount of amino acids.
Yeah, I find that explanation insufficient.
Yeah, Drew.
I retract my intrusion.
No, not your. I don't mean your explanation. I mean the explanation given by the Doctor in this episode. I am not content. And that really pisses me off. It pisses me off that this dude just turns into a giant fucking lobster monster, and it also seems like no one cares. Maybe the olive woman who gets killed cares, but everyone else is just kind of, well, man, that evening was a bit of a bummer, wasn't it? And that's it.
Yeah, the police certainly don't care.
Exactly. Oh my god, that was one of the notes that I ignored. Like, call the police.
Rich dum-dums have their servants do that for them.
No, they have the special police. They call 9999.
Okay, I'm just going to jump to the rating now. I'm giving this a 1.1. Fuck this episode.
That makes me feel better about my rating.
Well, I'm going to start off with things that are good. I liked some of the scenes the Doctor had with Lasersaurus in this one. there are some good sentiments, or some sentiments I agree with, which are the same thing. Anyway, on the roof, he says it's not the time that matters, but the person in Southwark Cathedral. It's like, you'll get old, you'll get lonely. There's a sort of echo of Highlander there, and then the infinite sadness the Doctor must feel after so many years. And Tennant does have a few scenes in which to act, but they really stand out because most of the time he is not doing anything. It's just a formulaic old monster story. It's barely more developed than an episode of Scooby-Doo. And and again, you could say that the prospect of rich dum-dums paying a lot of money and living forever is not such a ridiculous, outlandish concept. That could happen.
They literally already do.
Yeah.
It's true, I read about that somewhere.
Forever?
Well, no, but they live longer than we do.
Oh, yes, absolutely. But, you know, they could...
Yes, actually, that is true.
But in terms of taking it a step further than that and rejuvenating, maybe not in this way, but managing to keep themselves going for another 100 years, let's say, through biological advances.
Well, I feel like that's a sci-fi story that's been told on numerous occasions before as well.
Yeah, so Doctor Who doesn't really need to give it its own treatment. The series needs a boost. It needs a really good episode to parachute in and save us from the
mediocrity. That's coming up very, very shortly.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But this wasn't that episode. This was just more trudging through the mire. As we even experienced in this recording, it's been less energetic than usual.
Yeah.
I mean, Gatiss preened and strutted. He was 2-1 note. He had a couple of token second notes about, I was in the Blitz and I'm old, but... So what?
Spot on.
I mean,
so what? Just want to clarify, we're not saying so what to the Blitz.
Yeah.
Wrap
it's,
it up.
It's hammy filler. The first half could have done with two extra drafts instead of one. The CGI was baffling. Could you not stick some motion capture sensors on Gatiss's face? I mean, even cheap ones. Just get
this
a
few. This was made in when? 2008?
Yeah, so it was mostly done with hands against a sheet.
Yeah,
with a
flashlight. Exactly.
I was going to suggest maybe he laid down and they did some brass rubbing and put that on a CGI monster.
No, that's actually Mark Gatiss in his true form. Everything else has been CGI up until this point.
But I think you guys are both too harsh. I'm going to go with 1.5.
All right.
Tell it to your face, mate.
I'd say it's 3 times better than Evolution of the Daleks.
Yeah, it probably is.
Oh, I don't know. Who would win in a fight, Lazarus or Solomon?
Well, Solomon would just break him in half.
But Lazarus would just resurrect himself.
Second audible high five.
Okay. I feel like that is the end of the episode.
There are no user minis, are there?
No. Unfortunately.
No, so.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Nicolaley, and here is a jingle of the pumpkin singing how you can do that.
Nicolaley. That's terrible.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my god.
It's not on a Eurovision entry.
Oh, we're keeping that in. And Drew, where can they find you?
Drew back when.
Which is like Who Back When, but with Drew.
No, it's not. It's nothing like that. And I am Ponkin. Here's a soundbite of JD. Sing, spell that.
P-O-N-K-E-N, Ponkin.
P-O-N-K-E-N.
Touche, touche.
Thanks, JD.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you so much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Catch us in our next review. It's going to be a classic, and it will be...
Enemy of the World.
Yes, it will. After that, we will be reviewing a New Who episode, namely...
42.
That's correct.
The answer to everything.
And at some point in the hopefully not too distant future, we will be reviewing an Audio Who, namely...
The Scapegoat.
The Escape Goat.
Okay, let's end.
Yeah. Just feel like, you know, like small kids, yeah, like when they get really tired, they just get hyperactive. That's exactly where we are right now. Thanks for listening. Catch us in the next one. Be rad next to each other. Ciao.
Bye.
Kablamo! Did you enjoy the show? Then please do what the cosmos compels you to and spread the gospel of who back when. Tell your friends. Don't have any friends? No problemo. Tell some strangers. Like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/whobackwhen. All in one word. Are you on Google Plus? Then find us on Google Plus. That's plus who back when. And when you do, tell us why you're on Google Plus. Who back when just got its very own Twitter account. No lie. So give us a follow. You guessed it. That's @whobackwhen. All in one word. Check us out on SoundCloud, vote us up on Reddit, listen to us on Stitcher, and head on over to our website, whobackwhen.com, where you can leave a comment, submit a review of your own, and peruse our visual index of aliens, monsters, and more, which increases in kablamos with every episode. And lastly, give us a rating and review on iTunes. Not only would it make us super chuffed, and it really, really would, but as thanks, we will transmigrate your iTunes nom de plume into the credit list of trailers for fake Doctor Who audiobooks produced by Who Back When. Have a poke around our bonus episodes to make more sense of that. That's it. Rock on and be rad and excellent to each other. Catch your earballs in our next Classic Who Review, New Who Review, or, still funny, Audio Who Review. Ciao.
Who back when?